Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Less Than Perfect, premiering Tuesday, October 1st. That's tonight, only on ABC. I consider myself to be, and I think if people are honest, I think they would consider me to be a good provider. I think I'm a good stepdad, whatever that is. I've always believed being a good stepdad is just being a pretty good example. You're not their dad. You're an example of a man. That's what you are when you're a stepdad. That's what a good stepdad is. You're a good, solid example of a man. You treat their mother well. You treat them firmly but fairly, the kids. And you go about the business of providing, and you go about the business of living your life as a good example. So I think I'm a pretty good stepdad. I think that I'm also a damn good husband. And all I ever do, and I'm not complaining, but all I really ever do is I get up in the morning, I have my Grape Nuts O's cereal, I feed the cat, I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I say hi to people, and then I go to bed. Then I get up, I feed the cat, I eat the Grape Nuts O's cereal, I go to work, I do the thing, and then I come home, I say hi, and I go to bed. And then I get up, and that's my life. And then on the weekends, I go where they want me to go, and I do what they want me to do. We go out, we stay home, we do as a family, we do as a couple. And I provide well for my family. 30 years in the broadcast business, I fought every kind of battle. I'm what you call street smart. I know all the tricks. I know all the games. I've survived where others have fallen by the wayside. I have dodged where others have taken the bullet. And here I sit at the age of 50. And so one night, just one night out of my life, I wanted to cut loose. And it was last Friday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Just one night, that's all. I had gotten off the air. We had done our 3 hours of a live broadcast in front of 500 drunken, very nice, yet drunken fans, hooting, howling, heckling, screaming. We did our show, got off the air, went back there into the green room, and I said to myself, I'm going to cut loose. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it anymore. I'm not going to feel bad about it. There were a lot of women around. A lot of fans were around that night. First time in 5 years that I'd had the chance to let go, because my wife wasn't around. Maria didn't come in until Saturday. I didn't have to be anywhere, and I didn't have to do anything. Didn't have the wife around, didn't have the kids around. Lots of fans, many of them female. And you know, I'm my own man. I do what I want to do. Nobody gets to tell me what to do and stuff. I'm going to do what I want to do. They gave me a big suite at the Luxor Hotel, big living room, two televisions, little kitchenette, big bedroom with a button that you push and a TV comes right up out of the floor right in front of the bed. How about that? You ever seen anything like that? I never saw anything like that. They said, look at this, Phil. I push the button and the television comes right up there in front of the bed. I had the whole night to burn, that whole beautiful bedroom to myself. And oh yeah, by the way, in case some of you want to go running off to Maria to tell her what Phil's talking about on the radio today, I've already told her. And we're fine with it. We've worked through it. We've worked through it. There were some angry moments. There were some hurt moments. There were tears. But we've worked through it. And I think we're a better couple for it. But what happened Friday night? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened Friday night, and I don't have any fear. I could get fired for telling you what I'm about to tell you. I could be risking my career. But I've never been one to shy away. I went up to my suite. I ordered room service. And I bought one of those porn movies. The ones that say Adult Exotica, Channel 20. I hit 20, had a whole list of titles. Naughty Nurses, Sleazy, Wet, and Wild. Underage Extravaganza, Disgusting and Sick. Girl Scouts on Parade, vile and foul and malodorous. You know, just on and on. Gay porn. These guys are, you know, the kind of guys you want. And you want to know which one I bought? It wasn't a gay one, so just forget it. I forget which one I bought. All look the same to me. And frankly, it's the last one I'm going to buy at a hotel because that soft porn stuff ain't getting it done. That whole behind the plant, forget it. $10 and I'm looking at this thing and it's like behind a plant and a portion of the couch. They give you about 2 seconds of a great shot, then they're on to something else. The guy's got big freaking guns on him. Guy's built. She's just as lithesome and gorgeous and Bambi-like as possible with the enormous plasticine breasts. So there, I said it. And I don't want to see any of you guys averting my eyes when we talk about Vegas. It's out, all right? Maria knows, so bug off. I'm not ashamed. I went up there. I got into my underwear, ordered some food, and watched this porn flick for about a whole 30 minutes before I went to sleep with my face in a club sandwich. I woke up and I had lettuce and everything. What the hell? Oh, jeez. Wow, I must have fallen asleep. You know, the other thing, too, and by the way, I hadn't taken my clothes off yet, I should say. I was still fully clothed. The other thing, too, I'm going to tell you this. Now, you may think I'm joking, but I'm not. It's cool. Porn's really good. Maria and I buy flicks. Now, I will say this. All the hotels in New York, the porn's uncut. Am I right or am I wrong about that, Craig? Speaking of being by himself, am I right about that or wrong, Craig? And also a couple of hotels in Mexico. And there isn't a time that Maria and I go on vacation that we don't buy one or two of them. Because it's cool. It's nothing like, you know, just nothing like jumpstarting a vacation with a couple of really filthy movies and your wife right next to you. Now, one of the things I'm not really too down with, though, are those flicks that sort of skirt that underage thing. Even though the actresses are all over 18, there was one that I was watching, and I'm telling you, I was so disgusted with this. I turned it off within 2 hours. It was a movie, and the guy is at home, and the girl knocks on the door, and she says, I think I left my underwear here during the slumber party. And he goes, well, come on inside. It must be around here. And they start getting it on, right? And it kind of creeped me out a little bit, because they hire the actress to look like she's 15. It's sort of, and it did. I mean, if you got a daughter who's getting into that age, you really want to get right down the middle of the road, man. You really want to keep all your interests and tastes very adult. Very adult. You want to be, you really, if ever there was a time to get mature, it's when you got a daughter who's beginning to come into her adolescence. Not because of anything sick or perverse, but because you got to understand what's good for her and what you don't want her to get involved in, right? And my daughter is entering an age now where everybody's a pain in the ass, and everything is stacked against her, and all she wants to do is play volleyball, be a cheerleader, play basketball, be on a swim team, go to a rowing team, be a Girl Scout, be a space cadet, and other than that, she doesn't really want to do much of anything. How did I get off onto that? I was talking about porn, man. Anyway, my wife and I buy a lot of really great movies, but you don't want those ones where it's behind that potted plant. And there are enough hotels now that are selling this stuff uncut, $10 a movie. I mean, it ain't cheap, but it's uncut, that you don't have to put up with that any longer. So when you're in a hotel, the next time you're in a hotel, and they're trying to sell you that Spice Channel style, oh, gee, you almost see it, but a dog is licking himself. It's almost there, but they're screwing behind the refrigerator. Don't put up with it at all. Complain. Complain to the front desk. Tell them you want your porn uncut. Tell them you're Mr. So-and-so in room 73. You're there in your bathrobe, and you'd like somebody to do something about the lousy porn. You want good quality porn in that room now. Okay? So that's it. That's what we did last Friday night. And the worst is when they edit a real porn that you've seen already into a soft porn movie, right? Like, for instance, many of you have hours and hours, hundreds of thousands of hours of adult films, and you've seen most of these, and then they've edited it down into something soft. Well, your imagination doesn't even help at that time. See, right here, something happened, but you can't see it because they've shot the alternate version. He's behind a truck. Or, you know, the best thing, I really like to see the guy's face a lot, don't you? I mean, nothing better. First of all, adult films are made for one sex and one, really one sex only, men, although women more and more are beginning to enjoy them, and they're starting, more and more women are making them. So I guess a lot of women are digging them. My wife, though, has nothing but criticism for half of the stuff we see. Oh, they're not really getting into it. She's faking it. She's faking it. He's faking it. She's faking it. And finally, we're reduced to watching lesbians. Anyway, the thing that you're left seeing when you see those edited films is the guy's face or the guy's ass. Yeah, that's what I want. That's exactly what I need. Thank you. The guy's ass is doing one of those, or his face is contorted into that, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're having a ball, because this is really nowhere, man. And this is $11.95 a freaking movie, too. And he's, talk about ugly. Jesus. The women are beautiful, oh, some of them. But the guys are the freakiest looking creatures you've ever seen in your life. And it weren't for the fact of one lucky event of genetics, they wouldn't even be in those movies. Right? It'd be you and me, Chris. Unfortunately for you and me, though, it didn't work out like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686 here, the number, and the Phil Henry Show. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. Check it out and get yourself a backstage pass, too, all right? We have seen a drop-off in our rate of subscription. $6.95 a month, you get all the audio from The Phil Henry Show, top-quality audio, 30-day archive audio, audio that goes back 6, 7, 8 years, all kinds of long-form bits, short-form bits, and new stuff being added each and every day. We have a webcast archive where you can actually see our radio show being performed and prepared, and we have a Q&A section in our audio archives as well, plus our souvenir shop and all the other things that go along with the Phil Henry website. It's only $6.95 a month. You can't beat the price. I would suggest a 6-month subscription so you can save yourself a little bit of money. But it just is a terrific place to get the best quality audio on the web. And let me address this of the Phil Henry Show. Let me address this because I've talked to some people, and they've said the following. You know, there's a lot of sites out there that have way more audio than your site, and it's free. Really? Well, let me tell you this. That's fine, and I can dig it, and I know there's a lot of people who are fans of the show, and they have these alternate sites where there's free audio, but the fact is we are taping and archiving every single solitary show, and it's high quality. What do I mean by high quality, Craig? What exactly are we saying? Give me a technical term that some people would relate. You don't know? It's bandwidth, is it, or is it short bandwidth? What is it, Chris? It's CD quality. It sounds really clean. And so what you're looking at here is, for $6.95 a month, something that is clean, CD quality, high fidelity, stereophonic, quadraphonic, intergalactic, subspace radio, whatever you want to call it. Captain, Star Trek Command is on the radio right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's only $6.95 a month. Or you can go to those free sites, and you can get yourself, for instance, a piece of the Phil Henry Show, and the audio sucks. You can't hear anything. It's just scratchy. It's staticky. And the guy may say, well, I got more audio than the Phil Henry, the official Phil Henry website. Well, the fact is, we're going to have more audio than anybody as we continue to add more and more high-quality stuff to our website. I like all the guys that have these fan sites, but I don't work for free. And you can go and you can get this stuff for free, and it's what it is, man. Sometimes they got the whole show, sometimes they got 20 minutes of the show, sometimes it sounded like it was taped off of a shortwave radio, sometimes it sounds like that it was taped off of a radio and then run over with a truck, sometimes it sounds like the guy had a Dixie cup shoved up against a wall and he was trying to record a guy's radio through a prison cell wall or something. Yeah, great, fine. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Visit our website. Listen to the stuff we got. It's the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I want to take just a minute to congratulate the Anaheim Angels, not because of the Anaheim Angels getting to the playoffs, but because a great guy who manages them and who also happens to be a dad at our kids' school, a terrific guy who is very involved with his kids and is very involved with the school where our guys go, and that is Mike Socia, or as Harry Carey called him once, Mike Sakosha. Because he spells his name S-C-O, and I heard Harry went, all right, that brings up Mike Sakosha. Anyway, Mike Socia is one of the all-time class acts. Here's a guy that started in the minor league farm system of the Dodgers, came up through the Albuquerque Dukes to the Dodger big team, played with the Dodgers his entire career, coached with the Dodgers his entire career, so naturally he would become an Angel. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Dodgers needed to hire old Glenn Hoffman, and they had to hire Bill Russell. Oh, and let's not forget Davey, what's the guy? Johnston? Yeah, one of the all-time greats there. One of the big-time hires there. Meanwhile, Mike has got to go slumming, and he finally gets this gig with the Anaheim Angels, owned by a company that's got no business owning any sports team whatsoever. You know them as Disney. We know them as a company that has no business owning any sports team ever. They own the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Well, ain't that cute for marketing purposes. Guess what? They don't know how to play hockey. That's the only problem. Now, I'm sure they sell a whole lot of squeaky ducks, maybe some rubber ducks, whatever the hell they sell, and little shirts that say Mighty Ducks. Only problem is they wouldn't know a puck from a freaking watermelon. Now you got the Anaheim Angels. Here's a team that has stunk for years. Now, you got to get the full aroma of the Angels, you had to have grown up here. And the only time that my family, my father, ever allowed me to watch an Angel game, because we grew up a National League family, Dodgers, L.A. Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, New York Mets, Milwaukee, now Atlanta Braves, and on and on and on and on, Chicago Cubs, National League. We were not American League fans. The only time that he would ever allow me to watch an Angel game is if they were playing the Yankees. That was the only American League team that was ever worth watching. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, it still is the only American League team truly worth watching. However, the Angels have had their struggles, and today, as of just a few minutes from now, they'll be engaged in their first playoff appearance since 1986. You may remember 1986. You may remember a guy by the name of Donnie Moore. And you may remember a man by the name of Dave Henderson. Donnie Moore wore the uniform of the then California Angels. Dave Henderson wore the uniform of the Boston Red Sox. The Anaheim Angels were ahead by one game and could close out the Boston Red Sox in the 86 American League Championship Series. But for one out and one out alone, Donnie Moore needed to get Dave Henderson out. Donnie Moore was unable to get Dave Henderson out. In fact, Dave Henderson smacked a home run that gave the Red Sox a win in that game, and they went on to win the series. A few years later, Donnie Moore shot himself in his own home in Anaheim. Some people say it had something to do with that pitch to Dave Henderson. So this isn't just a ball club that has had tough times. This is a ball club that's haunted. This is a ball club that's had tragedy. This is a ball club that has found a lot of different ways, and some of them really interesting, to lose. But now they got a manager by the name of Socia. This guy's got a little thoroughbred in him. This guy's got some championship genes. I say this guy is going to lead the Angels to a 7-game loss to the Yankees. But it'll be really good. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with a little flashback from David G. Hall in just a few minutes.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I got David Hall here from yesterday's show. David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, was talking about health insurance. And many companies during this sort of quasi-recession that we're having are having a difficult time paying their health benefits. And so it is his opinion that what you should do is put off that cancer surgery until the very last possible minute. What are we doing here? We got it? No. Welcome to national radio, folks. Syndicated on over 90 stations. The Phil Henry Show. We don't have the flashback? All right, let's move on. Let's talk about suicide. That's how I feel right now. I'd like to just take a 357 Magnum and put it in my mouth. Let's talk about the guys, you know, like Donnie Moore. And who's the guy that missed the kick for the Bills? Scott Norwood. Remember that one? You probably don't if you're not a football fan. I do. Guy had like a 35-yard chip shot, blows the kick. How about Jackie Smith in the Super Bowl in 79? He's wide open there in the end zone. Ball hits him between the numbers, and it falls. How about Bill Buckner, the ball going through his legs? Now, many people would say, what an absolute and total disgrace. What a horrifyingly depressing moment. What a moment of abject depression and a sense of failure. Not for me, it wouldn't be. Hey, are you the guy that... Yes, I am. I am. Yeah, yeah. And you want to see where I'm living now, man? I'm in freaking Maui, okay? I'm right there on the... I'm on the Hana Coast. You're the guy that let the ball go through your legs. Really? That's what I do. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go the rest of your life? Yeah, man, you blew that kick in Super Bowl 23. Yep, I sure did there, Clem. Now, you want to move out of the way because I got some groceries here. I'm trying to get down the express lane. Are you Jackie Smith? You the guy that dropped that ball? And yep, I did. Did you? Man, I did it on purpose, too, because I was getting the points. So I just thought you mean you did it on purpose? You were taking money? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I was. Yeah, you better get to the commissioner's office and tell him all about it. See you later. Now, would you mind moving out of the way, okay? Because this excursion that I drive is a little long, man. It might run you over. Poor Donnie Moore. Donnie, it's just a freaking baseball game, man. That's all it was. You gave up a home run ball. Whoop-dee-doo. I guarantee you, had you not given that home run pitch up to Dave Henderson, the Angels would have found another way of losing that series. Don't worry about it, man. It's too bad you put it all on yourself. They would have found a way to lose that series. Don't worry about it. Who else? How about Gary Apremian throwing that pass that the Washington Redskins ran back for 7? Whatever, they still won the Super Bowl. You know, on and on and on it goes. I love these people who, yes, it was a moment in time. So-and-so had all the opportunity in the world, and yet he blew the kick. He threw the ball high. The pass didn't get there. The home run went over his glove. Well, that's what we call having a pension. That's why I've got retirement money. All right, I'm told that the David G. Hall flashback is ready. So while we listen to this and possibly ignore this, maybe you guys have a few examples, or maybe not. Maybe I'll come up with some of my own. Because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm looking for a laundry list of sporting failure. I'll come up with my own, and then I'll tell you how I feel that guy should have dealt with it. Donnie Moore, for instance, when he gave up the gopher ball to Dave Henderson, he should have just raised his hands up and said, yeah, I'm the man. That's right. That's right. I did it. Would that be great? Because, in other words, what's the worst thing that happened? You don't take your job seriously? Of course they take my job seriously. What do you want me to hang my head and what do you want me to do? All right, David Hall from yesterday's show says that people who need cancer surgery should put it off for as long as possible because maybe your company can't afford the health benefits.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
How can you go to your employees and ask them to do all this stuff? I own my own business, and I wouldn't go to my employees and say, I need to cut your medical, but I'm going to take my family on a vacation for $15,000 and then $25,000. That's the problem with America these days, and you're telling me Your radio station has no money. You're forced to run to write this porno movie, but we're spending money left and right. It starts with management to me, and management should set the precedent as to what they want the employees to do.
Let me ask you a question. Why shouldn't I be able to fire any employee who comes to me and says they got cancer?
Well, I don't disagree with that.
All right, then why don't I? But no, I got to give him all his health benefits and everything else. I didn't say don't get your health benefits. I just said as soon as you get your chemotherapy, get back in the office.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with that.
Thank
I'm saying you're telling him you want him to wait because you have no money.
Right.
The part I'm disagreeing with, you're saying you need to save money.
Right.
And so on and so on.
Yes.
But yet you're out spending money left and right.
How can I
manage your employees?
No, but I'm in management.
I don't care if you own the place.
Well,
I own my business, and I wouldn't go to my employees and say, hey, I want you to wait to save the company money. We're having a little bit of a financial problem.
Well, we are.
I'm going to go on a cruise for $20,000.
That's different. We are.
How's it different?
How's that different?
Because we can't afford to pay the health and benefits of the employees, but we can afford to send managers on these cruises.
That's a bunch of crap. You know how much
corporate visa
you can buy for $20,000?
Look, I got a corporate visa with $1 million limit.
Well, then pay for some medical for your employees.
I've been forced to debase myself and this company by underwriting a porno movie so we can raise enough money to meet with next week's payroll.
And that's what that music is?
For cruises and stuff, you wouldn't have that problem. That's what I'm saying.
It starts
with management. It doesn't start with the employees.
If
the company has no money, that's a management problem.
Let me tell you something. If Mr. Henry, I'll tell you how my life is, Fred. If Mr. Henry doesn't get good ratings in the next rating book, it wouldn't matter to me if everybody in his family got cancer. I'd fire him.
Thank you.
Well, that's the job.
Well, and I understand that. I've got a business.
And I'm here on the set with one of the greatest porn stars in the world, Tadpole. All right, put him in a porn movie.
Well, if Mr. Henry doesn't do his job, then your job to fire him and find someone else that does it.
Hey, Fred, hold on. I got to check this girl for rectal cancer.
All right, that's...
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
You know, before Tadpole, there was another guy. His name was Johnny the Wad Holmes. Maybe you've heard about him. And there is a new film coming out that will portray at least part of the life of the late porn king John Holmes. It's will star Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer will play late porn king John Holmes in Wonderland, a movie about the 1981 involvement of Holmes and his teenage lover in a quadruple homicide to be distributed by Lionsgate Films. Did you ever hear about this? Maybe you're not too familiar. I recall the news story. I remember when it happened and hearing this vague aspect of the story having to do with John Holmes, the porn star who was no longer involved in the adult film business. He was in Miami working as a janitor. By 1981, he was cleaning out Dipsy dumpsters down in Miami. He was sweeping up. And, of course, people look at you and they say, really? How could that happen? Look, all the guy had was a large thing. I don't believe it. A janitor? Why, he had so much talent. Yeah, he sure did. He had about 15 inches of that talent is what he had. You know what happened to John Holmes? What, he became a janitor? No, really? Well, what are you, nuts? That's all the guy was good for. I mean, he was a nice guy, and I'm sure that he was really good on screen and all of that, but the guy came from a troubled home, came from Ohio, father left, had a stepfather that used to beat him up, his mother was a drunk. I mean, it was the definition of white trash, if ever there was a definition of white trash. And John Holmes worked for a while as a carpenter, etc., then came to L.A., and somebody spotted him in a men's room and said, why, I can make you a movie star. He said, okay. And that was, you know, the rest is history. But getting on to the Wonderland murders, here it is. This is very interesting. Now, by 1980, John Holmes sparks a relationship with a guy, and I got this off of a website called bullcrap.com, so you know you can trust it. In 1980, John sparked a relationship with Eddie Nash. Eddie Nash was a narcotics dealer and a strip club owner. He was a coke addict. He had mob ties. He had a bad temper. Ever see Boogie Nights? Well, if you go see the movie Boogie Nights, the character played by Alfred Molina is based loosely upon this Eddie Nash. Alfred Molina was the drug dealer in the bathrobe where the guy was lighting those firecrackers and the dude is getting off on Sister Christian by Night Ranger. I mean, this is the kind of sick, twisted, disgusting personality. Not because he snorted coke, but because he was a Night Ranger fan. Nash was based on the Speedo-wearing crack addict that Dirk Dingler in the movie, you know, Boogie Nights, was trying to scam. He was a really awful man, And according to Lori Holmes, who was John Holmes' wife, he said, John told me he used to leave the bathrooms without toilet paper and then offer young women money if they'd, well. John frequented his Nash's parties and eventually became one of the star attractions. He went to these parties for drugs. Nash's home was like a danger zone. It had handguns, shotguns, crack cocaine, heroin, bodyguards, and wall-to-wall sex. It was a place where John could get his hands on drugs for free. At the same time, Mr. Holmes found himself in a very compromising position. He'd been running drugs for the Wonderland Gang. This was a small group of very mean drug dealers who lived on Wonderland Avenue in Hollywood. The Wonderland Gang was made up of three principal people, Joy Miller, William Ray Deverell, and Ron Lanius. Holmes made the idiotic mistake of smoking a few drug deliveries instead of delivering them. Well, he got beaten up, and he was threatened. His entire family was threatened with death unless he made good on the drugs that he smoked. So that's when Holmes allegedly said, I know where you guys can clean up. And that's when he led the gang to this Eddie Nash's house and the money and the drugs hidden within the home. He told them he would devise a plan to help them get into the house. In late June of 1981, the plan went into action. John Holmes hung out at Nash's until around 2 a.m. He bought some drugs and he left. On his way out of the house, he unlocked the back door on purpose. He then went back to 8763 Wonderland to wait. Soon after Holmes left Nash's place, Ron Lanius, William Ray Deverell, and two friends, Tracy McCourt and David Lind, entered Nash's home. They held Nash and his bodyguard hostage. They put a .357 in Nash's mouth. He begged for his life. They said, tell us where the money and the drugs and the jewelry is, or we'll kill you. And they made off with over $10,000, $15,000 in jewelry, 5,000 quaaludes, 8 pounds of cocaine, and a kilo of heroin. And they did all of it by 6 a.m. So that's really interesting. I'm kidding. Sure, they took 5,000 quaaludes, 8 pounds of coke, and a kilo of heroin. Well, it looks like we're all out, man. Better go score. When they returned home, they found Holmes waiting there anxiously. When he was given his cut of the take, he complained that he deserved more since he set up this entire caper. He was beaten up and thrown out. And now here comes the rough stuff. Oh, should we need to take a break? All right. Well, when we come back, all the gruesome details of the Wonderland murders. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking about Johnny Holmes here, and we'll finish this story, and that's the music that they play in these movies, if you've ever seen them. Some guy with a wah-wah pedal and a guitar, and you know how it goes. Now it's even filtered down to the grade school kids, because my sons, every time they see a good-looking girl, they go, wow, 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 wow. You know, so there's, you know, it's sick, and I try to beat them within an inch of their lives every time I hear it, but their mother's around a lot of the time. So now, John Holmes helps four drug dealers break into the home of Eddie Nash, allegedly. He helps these four drug dealers because he was supposed to do some drug delivery for them, and he didn't. He smoked up the profits. So they threatened him with a beating unless he helped them recoup some of the loss. He said, I know a guy who's got drugs. You can bust into his house, allegedly. They do. They steal $10,000 in cash, $15,000 in jewelry, quaaludes, heroin, cocaine. Now the rough stuff begins. This guy, Eddie Nash, who they ripped off, is not a friendly man. He's not a nice guy. He's a guy who has a violent temper, and he's one who takes violent revenge on those who wrong him. On July 1st, 1981, there was a report of four murders that had taken place at 8763 Wonderland Avenue. Four people had been bludgeoned to death, their brains beaten in with hammers. Those four people included Ron Lanius, Billy Deverell, Joy Miller and a woman named Barbara Richardson. Some of those people, in other words, the individuals who were involved in ripping off Eddie Nash. And other victims, Suzanne Lanius, survived, although she suffered permanent brain damage. The investigating officer, Bob Souza from the LAPD, was quoted as saying, "We'd seen it all, but I've never seen so much blood." And there was a lot of it. It was on the walls, on the floors, on the beds, on the ceiling, everywhere. Around the same time as the investigation, John Holmes staggered home. He was covered in blood and shaking. He told Sharon, his wife, about the murders. He told her that he had to watch, that he had to let it happen, or they would have killed him and his family. Holmes was caught wearing a ring that was stolen from Nash's house the day after the robbery, and this was how Nash found out that he had something to do with it. Nash told Holmes that he would kill him, his friends, and family unless he gave up the people who robbed him. So he did, and he watched as Nash's bodyguards beat five people into hamburger meat with hammers and iron bars. And there are reports that say Holmes may have helped out by beating Lanius' skull in. He hated and feared him, and remember, this was the guy that beat him up. Lanius repeatedly ridiculed him and beat him whenever he had a reason to. There was a bloody palm print found on a rail above the body that matched Holmes's print. Holmes quickly became a prime suspect in the Wonderland murders, more popularly known as the Four on the Floor murders. Dun, dun, dun. And that's that, man. Now, I don't think he was ever indicted. I don't even think he was ever tried. I do believe he turned state's evidence and thereafter went back down to Miami and became a janitor. So now they're making a movie about this entire mess called Wonderland, and it's going to star Val Kilmer. And it ought to be, I don't know who's directing it, but it ought to be a good movie. I say ought to be because if anybody who got a hold of this material and really knew what to do with it, they could make it a really good movie. It ought to be a good movie, but it may be a crappy movie. How about that? You know what I hear is a really good movie, by the way? Red Dragon. The new Hannibal Lecter movie, which stars, among others, Ralph Fiennes. It has Ed Norton in it. It has, a really tremendous cast. So if you want blood, you want guts, you want gore, and Wonderland isn't out yet, go see that one. But there you go. I thought I'd read that to you because I'd always I'd always heard the story, and I'd always remembered the story, and now they're making a movie out of it with Val Kilmer, who is, John Holmes was about 6'3", I think, and Val Kilmer is what, 5'2", 5'1", but with trick photography, I don't know what they'll do. Maybe they'll just shoot it from up high and say, well, it's sort of an aerial view of John Holmes, something. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available at the Phil Henry Show website, as is the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a royal black, royal front, black back, sleeves, and collar. The fabric content is polyester and rayon. We've got all the men's sizes from small to double extra large, and the order will be shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. And don't forget that Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's black and silver, and it is coming in all of the men's sizes, small through extra large, double extra large. Fabric content is heavyweight, 100% cotton, and we'll ship those orders 2 to 4 weeks as well. It's all on our website, philhenryshow.com.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Deb, I know you're at a fundraiser tonight for a couple of charities, the Women's Professional Basketball Fundraiser. As you sit there and you watch the women playing basketball, we're talking about bigger issues. That, of course, is President Bush and his war on Iraq.
That's right, Phil. But most important, I think, is to remember that what Barbara Streisand did for the Democratic Party and for all Americans is to challenge the president. And I think it's important for us to stay the course. I think Barbara Streisand needs to get into cabinet-level meetings. I think she needs to get into national security briefings. I think we need eyes and ears there that we can trust. And obviously, President Bush is not someone to be trusted because he has this thing for Iraq while we do have domestic problems. So Barbara Streisand got up in front of the Democratic Committee the other day and said that President Bush needed to be challenged, and I think she's doing a very good job.
You're saying that Barbara Streisand needs to be in national security meetings?
I think so, yes. I think she is the one Democrat and the one American, I think, who can finally tell the truth. We need eyes and ears in these cabinet-level meetings and in these national security meetings. Also, the Homeland Security briefings, we don't have anyone in there that we can really believe. Barbara Streisand is an individual who has thrown her hat into the ring. She is doing all of us a tremendous favor by saying, all right, okay, I'll speak out against this. We needed someone. Barbara has done that.
All right, I want to be clear. Condoleezza Rice...
I know who she is.
All right, Condoleezza Rice is a national security advisor. She has a doctorate in political science. She's a fellow of the Hoover Institute. She's a woman of consummate... a consummate qualification. Why do we need Barbara Streisand in the national security meetings?
Barbara Streisand has won 2 Academy Awards. She's won 10 Grammys. She has won...
Well, Condoleezza...
Phil, let me finish. She has won 10 Grammys. She's won 6 Emmys. She has a Tony, 11 Golden Globes, 6 People's Choice Awards, 4 Georgies. She has 2 Cable Ace Awards, 2 George Foster Peabody Awards, a New York Dramas Critic Award, and an AFI Lifetime Achievement Award. And you try to tell me that Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, do they have these credentials? Barbara Streisand's the only person...
They have different credentials. They have...
Barbara Streisand, Phil, again, I'm sorry to interrupt, is the only person... You literally can recognize her with one name. When you say Barbara, people know who she is. And our country still is on the verge of war. We need one of us in there. We will demand through Congress that Barbara Streisand be given a 4-year seat on the cabinet level and at the national security meetings, and that, yes, Barbara Streisand...
We're talking about Barbara Streisand, the singer.
Yes, absolutely. And that Barbara Streisand be given limited security clearance so that we can have someone looking over these documents, so that there is someone with a level head there.
Well, I understand that Ms. Streisand has had a great achievements in the arts and great achievements in the movies, but we are talking, are we not, and really what we are is we're in the middle of a war on terrorism. Don't you feel she lacks some experience there?
I think, Phil, that the American people will follow her.
But this is a war.
Look, I'll put it to you this way. Many entertainers have become politicians. How many politicians have become entertainers? Does that answer your question? Ronald Reagan became a politician. George Murphy, Fred Gandy, Sonny Bono, Ralph Waite. And the number of people that Barbara Streisand has touched far outweighs the number of people that George Bush has touched. We need Barbara in there. We need another set of eyes in there helping us out with what is a very dangerous time.
Deb Turner is with us. And Deb, forgive me, I didn't give you a fair introduction.
That's all right, Phil, because I can barely hear you. We're in the middle of, I think it's... the second quarter of a tremendous basketball game, the Phoenix Mercury and the New York Liberty, and all of the money raised will go to charities here from the collected WNBA charities.
All right, but I have to say, you're with the Women's Democratic Power League, and you are lobbying Congress to allow Barbara Streisand some access to cabinet-level meetings and some access to national security briefings.
Yes, because we really think it's gotten that serious. We've got so many problems with this country. Who's really minding the store, I think, is the question. Who is looking out for this country? Who is in charge? Is there anybody, and I mean is there anybody, with their hands on the wheel of government? Is there anyone that we could have faith in if this country suddenly came under attack? We heard what Barbara had to say the other night. We listen to her words of wisdom and bravery. We obviously need Barbara Streisand at some level.
Well, she's a singer, she's a director.
At some level, Phil, I don't care what level. At some level, we need Barbara Streisand in Washington. I like to see her in national security briefings, but wherever, we need her there.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Barbara Streisand has taken a very vocal position going up against President Bush lately in this war on terror and this proposed war in Iraq. She doesn't want to go to war. You think she? You seem to think she's the only person we can trust.
Well, Barbara has proven herself time and again as an integral part of the country's security. She has helped this country through so much through her artistic endeavors, and she's obviously helped this country so much through her endeavors as a politician. Are we going to believe Bush? I don't think so. Are you trying to tell me I'm supposed to believe Bush to believe Donald Rumsfeld? It's not going to happen. Barbara Streisand is beloved of all of us. We know through her albums she has sensitivity. We know through her record albums that she has great talent. And we know that Barbara Streisand won't lie.
All right, now let me bring up what happened here the other night. She went off on a tangent and quoted Shakespeare, and then it turned out that that wasn't Shakespeare at all, that she got it off the internet, and she didn't even know it was Shakespeare, right?
She knew it wasn't Shakespeare, Phil. She was misquoted.
Are you telling me she got up on stage in front of all those Democrats, and she began this big, long quote that she claimed came from Shakespeare, and it was proven the next day on Matt Drudge's website that it wasn't from Shakespeare?
No, she knew it wasn't Shakespeare.
Then why didn't she say, I know this isn't Shakespeare?
She was having some fun, and she fooled Matt Drudge into thinking that she thought it was Shakespeare, when in point of fact, she didn't think it was Shakespeare. So she was having some fun, and it shows you that the conservative press is not going to make Barbara Streisand look like an utter idiot. Barbara Streisand has continually put her career on the line to prove a point. What has Bush done? Nothing. President Bush has done absolutely nothing since he's been elected president. He has gone fishing, hunting, camping. Barbara Streisand, on the other hand, has wonderful experience.
What international experience does she have?
Well, Phil,
what has she done?
Every third world country that she has ever gone into, she has traveled the world. She has done concerts in most third world countries. Everyone she's gone into, she has had her driver take her into some of the areas of the city. She's handed out concert tickets, free meals, a lot of things. So Barbara Streisand has had her driver take her into some of the worst areas of those cities. And has Bush had his driver take him there? I'm sure Mr. Bush has had his driver take him to the local golf course. But Barbara has had her driver take her into some of the areas, and she's rolled the window down a little bit and looked at them. And I think the President Bush has not done that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Deb Turner with the Women's Democrat, the Women's Democratic Power League. Barbara Streisand can be trusted. She's the one that we need, and the Women's Democratic Power League is suggesting that we get her in there on cabinet meetings and national security briefings. Vicki, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Go ahead, Vicki. Hello, Vicki? Vicki?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, I'm calling to retort the woman's position, because I believe that if Barbara Streisand wants to serve the government, she can run for office, just like all of our other politicians.
Well, not everybody runs for office.
If she feels as though she has enough to
offer, not everybody runs for office. Some people are volunteers.
Elected official. No one should be appointed to a position of national security without some background.
She does have background. I mentioned her background.
She has absolutely
her driver
no
has taken
background
her to some areas.
In government or anything else. She's a well-known entertainer.
That's right.
And that's great, but
yes,
that's it.
That's right.
And if she can stick to the stage
right.
and let the government stick to their business,
well,
and
the government
she has
know what
no
it's doing.
Business butting into the government. If she has an opinion, she can
right.
state it.
Your,
she
your
has
response,
no business.
Your response?
Well, my response, Phil, is this, that Barbara Streisand is the only one who's actually standing up to Bush and saying that he's nuts. And what has Bush done? He hasn't done anything. He's just stood there and done nothing. Barbara Streisand is doing lots of things. She's raising money. She had her driver take her into a bad part of town. She gave away food. What's Bush doing? He's standing on a golf course looking worried.
May
then he
I
goes
come
and
in?
Has dinner. And
well, hold on for a minute, Vicki. I want to ask you, Deb, what do you mean Bush has done nothing?
President Bush, Barbara Streisand has 2 Academy Awards, 10 Grammys, 11 Golden Globes. Bush doesn't have any of that.
He's not an actor.
Exactly, but he doesn't have any of that.
All right, go ahead, Vicki.
I can't believe that you would consider an Academy Award a credential for serving in the government. That is absolutely the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Have you ever heard of Ronald Reagan?
There is no qualifications
Reagan?
For being an actor that would enable her to have any kind of a voice in government whatsoever.
What about Ronald
George
Reagan?
Bush has called the United Nations to task, finally, to do something about Saddam
anything.
Hussein.
He's standing around not doing anything. And we need him to do something. Anything.
Would you like him to sing and dance?
I'd like him to do something. Even if he broke into a soft shoe, that would be better than what he's doing. And Bush has had a lot of barbecues for Saudi Arabians. Barbara is Jewish. She won't touch pork. But Bush has these Saudis over for barbecues every time somebody says boo. So and Ronald Reagan. And what about Fred Gandy from Love Boat?
Are we going to talk about Clinton and the pasty that he was for the Saudi Arabians?
I'd like to hear the caller respond to Fred Gandy from Love Boat.
Fred Gandy
from Love Boat?
Yes,
are you out of your mind?
Really, he's a Republican.
Are you out of your mind?
He's a Republican, and he's.
I would rather discuss Condoleezza Rice.
Right.
Colin Powell,
yeah.
Donald Rumsfeld,
Fred
George
Gandy,
Bush, if we're talking
Sonny
about
Bono,
government.
Sonny Bono, see, all Republicans.
All right, Barbara Streisand, Democrat.
She has, and let me repeat, 2 Academy Awards, 10 Grammys.
All right, you've given the credentials there, okay? Condoleezza Rice is a woman with a political science degree.
Yeah, but Condoleezza Rice is not interesting, Phil, and you need someone who's interesting to the people. You need someone who's compelling to the people, who is magnetic. And I think that Condoleezza Rice is very flat. She's very unremarkable. Barbara, on the other hand, magnetizes people. And all we're asking for is for Barbara Streisand to be allowed on a once-a-month basis to sit in on some of these cabinet meetings and these national security briefings, so for in the name of God, we know what's going on in there. Because as far as we know, nothing's getting done. And the president just sits around and tells old stories about when he owned the Texas Rangers. Something's got to get done, and that's why we want Barbara in there.
All right, Deb Turner from the Women's Democratic Power League. Barbara Streisand has suddenly arisen to a position of prominence in the Democratic Party, and they would like her to be able to have some access to cabinet meetings and national security briefings. Do you think that's fair? Do you think a private citizen like Barbara Streisand should have access to national security briefings? Does she have the qualifications? She's traveled the world, and as Deb said, her driver's taken her to some of the worst parts of town, whereas President Bush's driver doesn't take him to bad parts of town. So what would he know? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Who do you think listens? Who do you think listens to these people? Do the people listen to Barbara? Or do the people listen to George Bush? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Back with Deb Turner, and we're talking about Barbara Streisand, who she feels needs to have access to national security briefings. You also feel that Barbara Streisand needs to have some tours of military installations?
So I think it's without a doubt, because Barbara has not yet seen what our military plan in Iraq is. She doesn't yet know what kind of military action is going to be. And I don't know who President Bush thinks he is, not returning her phone call on that, but I can assure you there's going to be some problems. I want you to listen to, I've just got the radio with me here, as a matter of fact. This is a woman who can sing a song like this and at the same time tell President Bush to step off.
You want Barbara Streisand to have a tour of military installations?
Yes. Because, Phil, we need some eyes and ears in there that are going to tell us the truth and not lie and then go to bed and sleep one off like President Bush.
Well, I think that's a little slanderous, don't you? President Bush has quit drinking.
Well, again, we don't... How do we know he quit drinking? He passed out on the sofa, choked on a pretzel? Sure. These are the things that we really need to have some more, I think, debriefings on.
Let me go here to Kenny on the Phil Hendry Show. Kenny?
Yeah, I tell you, you sound like a moron. You sound like a person that has no knowledge of what they're talking about. I'm in marketing and sales, I would like to become a brain surgeon. What shall I do? Just walk in and start operating?
I think Barbara Streisand has international experience. I told you.
International experience in what? In singing?
She's been to every major country in the world.
I heard what you said. You said that she looked out the window at people? My gracious me, doesn't that qualify her?
Well, her driver has taken her into...
Her driver has taken her into what, sir?
Into an... I'm not a sir, I'm a woman, thank you very much, although I'm a very proud lesbian. So...
I guess therein lies the problem. I couldn't tell the difference.
And that's a problem for what?
For me, that's why I told you...
Well, don't worry about it, because I am a lesbian, so...
Oh, that's okay.
The chances of you and I getting together are slim to none.
I don't think the guy is.
Barbara has given cassette tapes of her music to some of the world's hungriest.
Really? The phone broke up there. What?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Your phone broke up. What'd you say?
I said Barbara has given cassette tapes of her music to some of the world's hungriest people.
And do they eat the tapes? What is it they do with the tapes?
You know, you're very cynical, aren't you?
Well, what do they do with the tapes, sir?
They listen to the music, and they're uplifted while they're hungry.
In other words, they have enough money to play the tapes, but they don't have enough money to eat.
The tapes are provided to UNESCO and to the City of Hope, and they provide boom boxes or what have you to some of the world's hungriest people.
Well, isn't that nice? And Ms. Streisand's responsible for that?
Yes, she is. And again, your sarcasm and your cynicism reflects the Republican standpoint on this.
I got to go along with the gentleman here.
I wonder in my mind's eye whether Ms. Streisand wouldn't be better off donating food to these people who are starving rather than tapes.
I think I think that's the job of UNESCO and the United Nations. I don't think that's Barbara Streisand's job.
I agree with you.
Well, wait a minute.
And based on that, sir, let me tell you, Barbara Streisand's job to get involved in the United States government. Let her keep singing to her friends.
Why does Barbara Streisand not at least have the common courtesy of being invited to a national security briefing?
She doesn't belong there.
Well,
She's a big mouth moron. Great entertainer.
All right.
Big mouth moron.
A big mouth
moron. And I might add, you both have a lot in common.
Well, her driver took her to some of the world's worst...
Yeah, I know. Ghettos in the world.
Who is your driver? What's his name?
Barbara's driver, his name is Daniel Capetz. Capeath. And he has taken her into some of the world's worst ghettos.
Really?
Yes. And she's rolled the... Well, you know, you may
and
be...
She actually looks out the window at these people?
She's rolled the window down, yes, partially, because there's a security. I don't understand.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Barbara Streisand, National Security. Barbara Streisand back in the news, and with me is Deb Turner, who's at a WNBA exhibition charity game tonight, and we're talking with her about Barbara Streisand and the demand by the Women's Democratic Power League for Barbara Streisand to have a key to nuclear missiles. Because
Phil, I'm talking about the defense system, the missile silos.
Why should Barbara Streisand have a key to nuclear missiles?
The reason why I'm... Phil, we need eyes and ears in there that we can trust. I mentioned that Barbara is the one that's taken President Bush to task. We want to see her tour military installations, and we also feel it's fair that she at least be given a briefing on how we plan on attacking Iraq.
Because why?
Because she has given... Of herself, she is a very prominent person in opposition to President Bush. Do I have to remind you, Barbara married James Brolin? Talk about a power couple. James Brolin has a very good chance to be elected under the Malibu City Council and his two political powerhouses under one roof. President Bush cannot be the only one with the key. It's dangerous. We need Barbara Streisand to have access to our nuclear missiles. It's the only way we can counterbalance President Bush's insanity and his desire to nuke the entire Middle East. Now, if that sounds crazy, I can tell you, I very much love my country, and I don't want to see anything happen to it. Barbara Streisand needs to have access to the SAC Air Command base in Nebraska so that she can countermand any order given by the president.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Michael, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Man, this lady, she sounds like she's smoking crack or something.
Well, I've been in the... I'm smoking crack. I've been in the political life for a lot of years.
I am now a combat veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom and...
Well, thank you, but that's...
...hundreds of countless other operations I have been through in my 10 years in the United States Air Force.
Well, we thank you for your service. But a lot of the Afghanis that you were bombing were children.
Don't you go there on this show. Don't go there. Congratulations, Michael, for your service to our country. Don't even get into that, okay?
You don't know what you're talking about. You have not been there.
Yeah. Barbara Streisand, now what has she done? What has she done for this country?
2 Academy Awards, 10 Grammys. I mean, do I got to go through it again?
I want to bring this up. You asked earlier what President Bush has done for this country.
He's standing
President
around.
Bush has freed a nation from the tyranny of Osama bin Laden and his credence of that guy.
Well, I heard something about that in the news.
So, yeah.
If God forbid there's another attack on this country, it's Barbara who should be shuttled into a bunker. Don't you
agree? It is because of President Bush and those underneath him that we are being protected another attack.
I want to ask you a question. Did you say that if there's another attack on our country, Barbara Streisand should be shuttled to a bunker?
Yes, absolutely. Because on the Republican side, you have Bush.
Oh, my God.
No, on the Republican side, you have Bush. Who do the Democrats have? Barbara. Don't laugh at me. Just because you flew planes and bombed children,
don't even go there, I told you.
Ma'am, I guarantee you I have been to just as many, if not more, countries than Barbara Streisand. I have actually shaken the hands of the children. I have picked the children up, and I have hugged the children.
Well, that's because no one knows who you are. But Barbara has to do it from the limousine. She can't get out of the car.
You know, if she's such a savior, and she walks on water like you described, she should have no problems getting out of her limousine.
Michael, Barbara Streisand donated to the pediatric burn unit of the Bangkok Children's Hospital 100 copies of Yentl.
Man,
you really have
Jason Cunningham.
Why do you care about that?
Jason Cunningham sacrificed his life for your freedom.
Richie Cunningham, I'm sorry.
Jason Cunningham.
A senior airman. He was killed in early March in Operation Anaconda.
Well, I'm not familiar with who he is. I do know Richie Cunningham.
I am giving you his name.
Lloyd.
That way, when you sit down tonight with your girlfriend or whoever you're sitting down with, you can reflect and you can say, hey, there's an individual that sacrificed.
Was that the guy that played the Fonz or was...
Jason Cunningham, a man that this guy knew. Not the Fonz. That was Henry Winkler. Richie Cunningham was the guy from that other stupid show.
Jason Cunningham was a pararescueman.
Well, God bless him.
That was saving other U.S. soldiers.
Well, I think that's tremendous. Michael, thank you very much.
Don't you think, Michael, that what Barbara did for those children was a wonderful thing? She gave those children copies
Some of the anybody else, it's a wonderful thing.
I'm very proud to say that Barbara has donated to some of the hungriest people in the world copies of The Prince of Tides. So it takes their mind off of their hunger.
No, instead of spending all the money donating physical items, why does she not donate food?
Food would be a nice thing. Prince of Tides?
On DVD? Oh, okay. So that's not... Jesus. It was on DVD.
What difference does it make? They're hungry.
The first call.
What are they going to do? Eat the DVD?
The first call Nick Nolte made when he got picked up was to Barbara. And why? Because people trust her.
Okay. So that's why we ought to have the entire military policy of this country given to Barbara, because Nick Nolte called her for bail money. Here is Steve on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
How y'all doing?
Fine, sir.
Good. I would like to let this man or woman know that just because Barbara Streisand won some awards for singing, you gotta keep that turned down. Just because she won some awards for singing some songs, I mean, that has nothing to do with her being able to have access to a military institution.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that?
Yes.
Mike Schmidt won 3 home run titles. You gonna let him be the president?
Well, Mike Schmidt never really had the acumen for foreign policy that Barbara does, as I've said.
He played baseball with more people who are not born in the United States than Barbara Streisand's ever dealt with.
Barbara Streisand has jet-skied around some of the most depressed
She's
countries.
She's jet-skied around some of the most depressed countries.
Boy, no kidding. Like, what is that?
You can laugh if you... You know, there are
I've
people,
been laughing the whole time. Well, I've been listening to this show for an hour, and I'm just, it's amazing.
People are suffering, Steve. And people are suffering because President Bush is dropping bombs on factories that make pacifiers. He dropped bombs just the other day on a factory that makes little boots, baby boots.
Well, I have a four-month-old child.
Oh, crap, he dropped
bombs. Yeah, I have a four-month-old child, and, you know, I'm not heartbroken over that fact because...
Well,
if you remember back a little over a year ago, what happened to this country?
You got that right. And a lot of kids were left orphans.
That's right.
And for you to say that Barbara Streisand has jet skied near some of the most depressed countries in the world.
You know, Dave, let's get your address and we'll send you and all the folks at your trailer park a couple of copies of Hello Dolly.
The folks at my trailer park.
Well, wherever it is.
Listen, you know what?
You know,
about how Barbara Streisand has ridden through some of the slummiest places in the world.
Yes.
And rolled down her window and actually peeked out at the people. But President Bush wouldn't dare do that. You know, President Bush is the president of the United States. All right? He's not a singer. That's like the Pope riding a bicycle through the south side of Chicago. It's not going to happen.
Barbara Streisand was in a film called Funny Girl, Steve. In that movie was an actor by the name of Omar Sharif, an Arab.
Well, that's great. My family's from Lebanon. So, I mean, I'm not worried about, you know, her being diverse enough to act with an Arab person.
Well,
that doesn't concern me.
If she can actually do that.
Yeah.
It's a script. It's
so
a movie.
She's acting with a freaking Arab, so what?
She can deal with other Arabs. And I'll tell you something, Steve. Barbara Streisand actually went swimming in the Gulf of Aqaba.
Okay. Steve, thanks.
That's great. I'm glad that she can swim.
Can I ask you a question? Are you Lebanese with a southern accent? Yeah, sure.
All right.
I'm only a quarter Lebanese, but my grandparents did come here from Lebanon.
Have you got any Mexican in you?
Have I got any Mexican in me? No.
You want some?
What's that got to do with anything?
All
you got
right,
something
listen.
Against Mexican soup? I'm fat. Do you have a problem with that?
You want some?
All right, listen, Steve. Thanks very much. I think that the plan to have Barbara Streisand...
Oh, 2 points. Good. Timmerman just slam dunk. Yay!
Good luck with your endeavors on trying to get Barbara Streisand a key to one of the missile silos and a tour of our military installations in Afghanistan. And I'd also like to send out my heartwarming thanks to her for jet skiing near some depressed areas.
Really?
No, not really.
Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. And my hat's off to her for rolling her window down partially around all those poor people. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
And now a word about the Barbara Streisand imbroglio. Now, I'm a Democrat, and I'm even embarrassed by someone like this. Because, first of all, if you haven't heard the news, she got up in front of a bunch of people, and she thought she was quoting Shakespeare, and she wasn't. It was some swill that had been pulled off the internet by one of her assistants, and they said, here, Barbara, this is Shakespeare, and she quoted it, and then she found out the next day that it wasn't Shakespeare, and she covered pretty good. She said, well, whoever wrote it, it was damn good. And that guy ought to be writing plays. But here's what she told the crowd. She said, you know, really good artists have a way of being relevant in their time. But great leaders are relevant anytime. Or great artists are relevant anytime. So in the words of William Shakespeare, quote, beware the leader who bangs the drum of war in order to whip the citizenry into a patriotic fervor, for patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizenry. Rather, the citizenry, infused with fear and blinded with patriotism, will offer up all of their rights unto the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done. I am Caesar. She probably thought it came from Julius Caesar. What you might want to do, Barbara, is read it. Have I read it? Yes, I have. I don't remember any of it, but I read it. Patriotism widens the mind. It broadens the mind. People who say that it narrows the mind don't know really what a patriot is. Read Walt Whitman. I mention him on occasion, and I've read Walt Whitman as opposed to Barbara, who ain't ever read Shakespeare. You want to know what a patriot is? Read Steinbeck. Read Kerouac. Read some of the great American right. Did you dump me? Oh, he dumped me. I said, who loved the shh, and then I stopped myself and I said, the heck out of this country. I know, that's fine. I didn't say S. I said SH, but I didn't say the whole word. What I'm saying is, read some of the guys that have loved the hell out of this country down through the years and have the spiritual patriotism that I have for America. And that is, as Whitman said, a country whose cities wrap their arms around each other and who plants camaraderie and friendship along every shore and along every river. That's the patriotism that I'm talking about. But Babs here, all she knows is flag waving, straw hats, and a 4th of July parade. We ain't talking about that. She thinks it's all about marching down the street lockstep like a bunch of quizzling, stormtroopers and running off and subjugating poor third world people. That's always the excuse when people say that we shouldn't go to war. And many times in the history of this country, it has been a dead-on description of what has happened. Our involvement in Vietnam was a great example of a large military machine going to war against essentially a small country. And for what reason? To keep communism out of South Vietnam. Communism is dead, and there was no domino theory, and we lost 50,000 Americans to a horrific foreign policy. This is a whole different ball game. If you don't go to war for your country when 3,000 of your fellow citizens have been carved up on your own homeland, on your own soil, you're a coward. You're just a coward. You can call yourself anti-war. You can call yourself someone who believes that America, through its foreign policy, has created its own problems. You can make it any kind of nursery rhyme you want to make it. You're a coward. You can come up with a lot of reasons why America is hated. There's a lot of good reasons why we're hated. But it doesn't mean you stand by and let them destroy the finest thing that the human race has ever put on this planet, the United States of America. You don't stand by and let them destroy it. You don't say, okay, you've had your fun, America, and you're so successful, and you're so wealthy, and you live so well, and your people are so happy that it really pisses all of us off and the rest of the world, so it's time for you to go down. No, no, baby, that ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. And you can just kiss off everything and then it will. Because as long as there's people like me around, this guy, this American, I'm going to stand there and say, you know what, we have made mistakes, we have been brutal in our dealings with the world, but I still say this country deserves to exist and does not deserve to be attacked with impunity, and 3,000 people butchered up in New York City is not an even trade-off for all the mistakes that we've made and all the other stuff that some people want to say. Do we go to war against Iraq? Well, I tell you what. No, we don't have to go to war against Iraq. So when we start hearing all the squealing and the yelling and the screaming when he drops a nuke into Israel, and the guy already dropped Scuds into Israel during the Gulf War. Israel didn't attack him. Israel never attacked Saddam Hussein. The United States did. But that didn't stop him from dropping a Scud, two or three, as I recall, into Israel during the Gulf War. Next time, he's going to have that tip possibly with a biological weapon or possibly with a nuclear weapon. You don't think he's nuts enough to do it? All right. All right, I tell you what. We won't go in. We won't deal with the problem. I know we got a lot of domestic issues. I know we got a harbor down here, L.A., that is under lockdown because of a strike. We got a lot of things we got to take care of. But none of this stuff is going to matter if we don't protect this country from people who have articulated time and again in every forum that they can find, in every magazine, in every newspaper, on every TV station. They have articulated it. They have said it. They have wagged their finger in our face and said, Americans and Jews must die. America must be destroyed. Now, I'm not imagining that. You aren't imagining that. You know that's happened, and you know they have demonstrated their ability to butcher up 3,000 people inside of 2 hours. So they got the ability, and by God, they got the will and the desire to make it all happen. So you want to sit there and you want to pound your dummy talking about all of these wonderful things having to do with, you know, Shakespeare and making the blood boil and narrowing the mind, and let's get out there and see what we can do. Maybe we had a talk piece with Saddam Hussein. Yeah, sure, right. So, as a Democrat, this kind of stuff embarrasses me. Now, the only celebrities that ought to be able to sound off about any of this stuff are talk show hosts. I'm one of those, Barbara. You're not. Now, if you just do some of this stuff, that'd be great. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on with Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. He's now a night print manager at a print shop in Culver City. Larry, you are threatening your wife with custody of your four children. You have been separated from her now for about 3 years. Why do you want custody of those kids?
Because of the problems that my daughter Kim got into, Phil, which I'm very upset about.
Now, you say problems. She has joined the cheerleading squad at her high school.
Well, the information that we have and we have done, when I was working with conservatives of Kern County, we were doing an ethics study on morality, and because ever since Bill Clinton turned the Oval Office into a whorehouse, we decided to look at morality at every level of the of modern life, and cheerleading clearly. Young girls that are cheerleaders are clearly stepping over the line, we think, into an area that is not only immoral, but I think it's also an area that damages relationships, normal relating between men and women.
You're saying cheerleading is immoral?
I'm saying that cheerleading walks the line of sexuality. It is also the beginning of women creating impotence in men because... it's obviously a situation where they're demanding things of men.
Let's take this one at a time, and where are you right now, anyway?
I'm in the loading dock area of our print shop because we've got two big jobs we got to get out tonight, Phil. One of them is a wedding invitation that we got to get out, and the other is a, I'm trying to remember now, the other is a...
Well, it doesn't make any difference, okay? We're
Well, I'm just trying to remember. The other, I think, is one's a wedding invitation, the other's a birthday invitation, I believe.
All right. Why is cheerleading... You're talking about high school girls cheerleading. Why is that sexual?
I think it's very clear to anybody that has been to any football game or basketball game where there are female cheerleaders. The girls are thrown into the air, or otherwise they leap up in the air. The skirts go above their waists, and you can see everything. And to me, that is just asking a young man to get turned on and to get hot when he should be concentrating on the ball game. And that's number one. Number two, I think that cheerleading creates impotence in men down the road. A typical three-hour game, they're demanding that men run, go, get it in, this kind of thing. If you ever go to a football game, Phil, you can hear it. There is a website called Miss Pineapple's Cheer Page, and this is what a lot of the young girls get their cheers from. These cheers demand action from men. They are quasi-sexual, and they also are the beginnings of a phenomenon that men know as nagging. A constant, unending, droning nagging in your ear. Do this, do that, go do this, go do that. That's what cheerleaders do, female cheerleaders.
Well, what are some of these cheers that you say are suspect?
Well, here's one. The hoop is hot, make that shot, which we think is obviously... I don't think the person that made up this cheer is...
Are you saying that whoever created that cheer believes it's sexual?
No, I'm not saying... I'm saying it has sexual connotation in the mind of a man. When he is playing football and he's trying to go down the field to get a touchdown and he sees some 15-year-old girl who is developing early, has a very attractive face and a very attractive, well-developing chest and area and bottom area, and she's saying... Get it in, stick it in, go, go, get it in there, shove it in there. That begins to invoke fear in that young man. That makes that young man feel as if he's having a performance anxiety, and it creates impotence later on. Some of these cheers...
I want to be clear. Some of these cheers that you're mentioning are not intended to be sexual.
No, but they are taken that way by a young man. Listen to this one. We want it up. We want it in. We want it up and through the rim. That is clearly a demand in the mind of a young man for a performance. And later on in life, it becomes sexual performance. Shoot, shoot, don't miss. Offense, get hot, and so on and so forth.
Why are you taking custody or want custody of your kids?
I don't want my daughter cheerleading. And I told my wife, I told my ex-wife, Debbie, that this would be... this would be our Armageddon. I will not have my daughter cheerleading, being thrown in the air with her skirt over her waist and everybody can see it all. And I'm certainly not going to have her putting on some young man sexual impotence, gelding, basically a festive athletic castration is in effect when she goes, shove it in, get it in, and the young man's out there trying to play football.
All right, Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, our number 1-800-449.
You know, you can laugh if you want, Phil.
No, the irony, I guess, of a very wholesome American event, a Friday night high school football game being tainted with such sexual underpinning, it seems odd.
It seems odd to me, too. And as a father who cares about his daughter and who cares about the cleanliness and health of his daughter, it's outrageous to me.
So you're going to get custody of these children unless your daughter quits cheerleading.
And so far, my wife has refused to take her out of cheerleading, yes.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number here. We're talking to Larry Grover about young women that are cheerleaders. Is it too late? Has cheerleading seen its better days? Is it simply a place where girls are sexualized early and turned into sex objects? Is it a valuable pursuit for a young lady? I know, Larry, my daughter wants to start cheering, although she's a lot younger.
Yep.
And we would rather she play athletics. We're not really nuts about her being a cheerleader, but I certainly don't think it's some kind of a sexualizing experience.
Well, and I think, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, you ought to open your eyes and take a sniff of the coffee, because when they toss the girl up in the air and she comes down with her rump up in the air, and it's barely covered by the panty that she's wearing, and the splits, and I am telling you this right now, we went to two high school games over the last 2 weeks, where very clearly the young lady did the splits right onto one of these guys' faces. And for me, I find that outrageous. And if that were my daughter down there on the field, I would have gone down there and I would have kicked hell out of the guy that threw her up in the air and the guy who caught her with his face the way he did. I would have kicked hell out of both of them. It is a father's right to see. And the reason my wife won't pull my daughter, my ex-wife won't pull my daughter out of this way of forcing impotence upon men is because my wife used to be a cheerleader, and it's just abuse carrying on from generation to generation.
When you say your wife was a cheerleader, would this phenomenon happen to you?
My wife was a cheerleader. When I went to Valley Vista College, we had a game against, I forget who we were playing, Tahunga JC. In this football game, I had was a fullback, and I played fullback through most of my varsity career. My ex-wife, Bonnie, said she was on a cheerleading team. And to make a long story short, the team was driving for a touchdown. It was a fourth and goal. I was given the ball. It was a left tackle. It was over left tackle, a left tackle dive. And before the play started, I remember very distinctly hearing my wife, Bonnie, on the cheerleading team from the sideline yelling the words, shove it in, stick it in, that kind of thing. And I will tell you, Mr. Hendry, to this day I've never forgotten it because I was unable to make the dive for a touchdown because of the performance anxiety she had put on me. So this is going on, and I think that it needs to be addressed.
You realize that this is a very radical thing you're saying. Get rid of cheerleading because it may create impotence.
But not only that, but it's the beginning of nagging. You don't want your daughter to nag, and that's all the cheerleaders do. They nag, nag, nag. Get a touchdown. Get a basket. Get a touchdown. Oh, shut up. We're doing the best we can. Do you think we're not trying to get a touchdown? Do you think we're not trying to get a basket? Do you think we're not trying to... And the stupidest one is defense. Defense. Oh, really? Is that... I thought I was playing offense. Thank you for reminding me. It treats you like an idiot. You feel like a jackass. And you can't... When you're 30, you can't get it up. So all of those things, to my way of thinking, mean that cheerleading has seen its better days.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here, talking to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. He believes that cheerleading leads young women into becoming naggers. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I was a cheerleader in high school, and it is not sexual. Cheerleaders are athletes. They run, they lift weights, they swim, they work their butts off. And it is not a sexual thing. If anybody thinks it's a sexual thing, they are deluded.
Why are their dresses up above their hips when they're being thrown in the air and all of that? Hello?
All right, we had to dump out because she had kind of she was angry.
She said it wasn't sexual, but she can't answer the question then, when you throw a girl up in the air, how come she's showing her rear end to everybody? If it's not sexual, then why don't they wear slacks? Why don't they wear a long dress that might peg at the bottom? If it's not sexual, they could certainly wear baggy slacks or dress. A lot of if you ever see a lot of the lesbians, they wear the baggy slacks. Why can't they do that?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should cheerleaders, female cheerleaders, start wearing baggy slacks? And also, I guess the question for a lot of women who were involved in cheerleading, if you look back, do you believe that was the beginning of you nagging your husband? Because the demands that cheerleaders make on football players, which is go, 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 drive down the field, get a touchdown, get it in, stick it in, all of this stuff sounds quasi-sexual and also is nagging those guys. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover. His daughter is cheerleading. He's threatening his wife with the custody of their daughter.
And one other thing. I bet that gal who called and told me the F word carries her husband's nuts around in a grocery bag. That's what cheerleading does.
All right, thank you. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Is cheerleading the beginning of nagging for women? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm with Larry Grover, a former college football player. Now he runs a print shop in Culver City. He used to be with the Conservatives of Kern County. And Larry, your political lobbying days are a little bit behind you, huh?
Well, I have had some difficult times, Phil. I lost my wife and family because I seemed to feel it was important to get Clinton out of office. They say I wasn't paying attention to them. All right. But I will get my daughter, custody of my daughter if my wife doesn't get her off the cheerleading team.
Well, you're sleeping on a porch at your mother's house. Where are you going to keep your daughter?
My mother has said that she will convert the garage into a bedroom for the four kids. We can't carpet it yet, but I've gotten some of the stuff that pulls the oil stains up off the floor, so we're working on that. We can use sleeping bags, but we can convert the garage into a nice bedroom and use the... there's a lavatory in the house, so the kids can come from the garage to the house.
Your kids are going to sleep in a garage because your daughter is on a cheerleading team?
Well, look, Mr. Henry, I'm not going to have my daughter nag the living hell out of the man that she married. How can I ever explain to mother why my daughter keeps yelling about the rim is where it should go, etc., etc.? Mother wouldn't understand that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We go to Peggy. Peggy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Your phone broke up, ma'am.
Okay. Mama's boy. Let me tell you something. Would you rather have your daughter be a lesbian or a bit of a sex object?
I would rather my daughter not nag her husband with go, 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 stick it in, and all of that.
Answer the question.
No, I'm not. You can't tell me what to do.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you obviously
see, you're one
need
of these
to have
ball
a therapist.
You're one of these ball busters that's trying to tell me what to do.
No, I am absolutely not.
You know what, Peggy, your phone is like screwing up on us. Say that again.
I'm sorry, I'm in a heavy traffic area.
That sounds
better. I am not a ball buster.
Well, oh no, were you a cheerleader?
No, I wasn't. I played sports,
right.
but I never was a cheerleader.
I'd like to know something.
How old are you?
I just turned 40.
Okay, I'm 50. There wasn't that much difference between the 60s and the 70s. You were a mama's boy.
Yeah, there was a lot of difference between the 60s and 70s.
Give me a break.
Then you're a lesbian, and you don't need to worry about shooting and shouting
about
your rim.
I am not a lesbian. I am married. I have three children.
Can I ask you this? Doesn't that offend you when you hear something like, put it in the rim, stick it in?
Well, yes, it does.
Okay, that's
however, if you have a good relationship with your daughter, then you can make known to her how you feel. If you bitch slap her like you talk, let me tell you something,
what do you mean,
she won't listen to you.
Let me tell you something. No woman, I lived with a cheerleader, and I still remember as I was trying to get the ball in on fourth and goal. I can hear her going, get it in, shove it in. Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Performance anxiety. I couldn't play football.
All cheerleaders ever learn to do is
nag hell out of the men they marry.
If you have a performance anxiety problem, you need a therapist.
No. Just keep the cheerleaders out of our lives once and for all with their screaming. So, in other words, I don't know I'm supposed to get a touchdown. Why do I need them standing there and telling me that
I do? You know what? That was then and this is now. Now you're talking about your daughter, not your mama's boy.
Look, let me jump in. My daughter's a bit younger, and she's cheerleading. And while we would like her to play athletics, we're glad she's involved in some kind of athletic coaching.
All right, as a father, I understand that, Mr. Henry. But when that cheerleader eventually becomes an adult, and then she begins to psychologically geld a man, that's a bad thing. Yeah.
I was NFL
material. Look at Peggy. I was NFL material until I heard those women go.
You
stick it in, shove it in, down the field, go, go, go. I hate it so very much.
You know what?
Right.
Then you need to talk to a therapist. So when you speak to your daughter,
you would have been a good cheerleader. You would have made a good cheerleader because
you
got that voice.
You
score
have
a touchdown.
You're a wonderful mama's boy.
You know what you are? You're a castrator. That's what you are. And you enjoy it. You like to see men walk around with their knees pushed together. Mother never told me to get it in. Only a cheerleader said, get it in. Mother.
Well, you know what?
All right,
obviously,
okay. 1-800,
something.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686.
Give me my penis back, you bitch.
Look it. We're trying to desperately understand your pathology concerning cheerleading.
I think I've explained it to you, Mr. Henry, and I think I've said it in ways. When I met my wife at Valley Vista, I was in business administration. I thought she was cute. But I could hear her, even in the beginning, with the nagging. Take it down the field. Score at the...
That's what cheerleaders do, man. They encourage.
No, that's nagging. That's pushing and push. I'll get it in the touchdown. Just shut up. That's what I always wanted to turn around and say. I'm going toward the end zone. Is that good enough for you?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Shannon. Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How
hi.
You doing?
Good. Now, good. Shannon, I understand you're used to be a cheerleader or no?
No, I haven't, but I've always been in sports, and I'm just amazed at this guy. I mean, number
here
one.
Here we go. What, you got nothing but women lining up to tell me that I'm wrong.
You know
I'd like to hear some guys.
Listen. Take some Paxil, take some Viagra, and then tell God to shut the hell up for a second. Listen to me. The cheerleaders aren't yelling at you. I mean, duh.
Yes, they are. They're yelling
promote...
at the team. Go, go, go. Go, go, go.
They're
it never
there for
ends.
The crowd. They're not there for you. Pull your head out. You're supposed to focus on the game. You're a has-been. You're 40 years old. Living
hey,
with your mom.
I could have been in the National Football League.
Could
you see how they laugh?
Get over it, Al Bundy.
Hey, listen to this. You see how they laugh? You see what they...
You honestly think that cheerleaders are responsible for you not being able to get it up? Come on.
All right. Thanks a lot. 1-800-44... I lost both callers here. 1-800-449-8686. Tell you what I'll do is I'll try to get Larry back on the phone. He feels that cheerleaders, that's the beginning of women nagging men. That when you hear a cheerleader on the sidelines screaming, go, 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 basically what she's doing is she's nagging. And that's the beginning. And also the obvious sexuality of cheerleading is bad for his daughter. He wants custody of all four of his children from his wife, who he says has allowed his daughter to be a cheerleader. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The question is this, is cheerleading an outdated activity for girls? Should they move on to something else? Is cheerleading just... really for idiots, or does it have some value? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're on with Larry Grover. He is former chairman of...
I want to make a point, too, Phil, if I could.
Hold on, Larry. Okay, we're on with Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. His daughter is a cheerleader. He is suing for custody of all of his kids because he doesn't want her cheerleading. He thinks it is a sexual pursuit. And you're in a really loud place, whatever you're doing there, Larry.
We're trying to get some work done tonight, Phil, but I apologize.
You also believe that cheerleading is unhealthy for male and women, men and women relating because they start to nag. Women nag. Cheerleading is essentially nagging.
Well, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. I played for Valley Vista College. The year was 1982. I was on my way out, and I was going to be hopefully be drafted, if not a walk-on, at one of the NFL free agent camps. I was a fullback for Valley Vista. We had a fourth down and inches to go. The ball was going to come to me. We were in an I formation. The ball was going to come to me, and it was going to pick either a hole in the interior of the line or do a wide sweep. And I'll never forget, the ball was handed off to me by a guy by the name of Eddie Rundgren, who was our quarterback. And as soon as I got the ball, I heard one of these cheerleaders... And she said, get it in the end zone, get it in the end zone. And I remembered that having to listen to them made me so insecure, I turned around and I said, well, what? I'm supposed to go to this end zone, aren't I? And that, I got hit.
Wait a minute.
And hold on for a minute. Today, Phil, I sleep on the porch at my mother's home. I don't complain, I'm the night manager of a print shop. But I could have been wearing the number 29... of a guy, and you might have heard about him, Eric Dickerson. The Rams wanted me.
You were scouted by the Rams?
I was scouted by the Los Angeles Rams. But this broad, this cheerleader, get it in the end zone, get it in. And you want to turn around, Phil, and say, I know, I'm like, what, this one or that one? What are you saying now? What do you want now? I'm in the middle of a play. I'm going to go to the end zone, but they go, get it in. Now what do you want? That's the frustration.
All right, 1-800-449, and I understand that. I'm just saying, is it as bad?
I say it's bad. I'm sleeping on a porch. I could have been Eric Dickerson.
Who is this, Season?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Season.
I'm here.
You're on the air, ma'am.
Okay. All right, man. You say you could have been for the Rams. You could have been before the cheerleaders messed you up, right?
That's right. This one turns... Well, what is she doing saying, get it in the end zone? Like, I don't know.
If you're such a good athlete, why the hell are you turning around listening to them instead of getting it into the end zone? Obviously, you couldn't have got it in or the Rams would have had you.
She's trying to confuse me. I know that
the cheerleader on the sideline that's trying to help your team, encourage your team to go on.
That's right.
Is trying to confuse you.
Yes, because they're idiots.
If you're such a good football player, you should be knowing enough to get it into the end zone without having to turn around. Obviously, you've got some kind of psychotic problems wanting to turn around and yell at the girl trying to help you out.
Let me ask you a question. There's two end zones in football. If you're familiar with football, there's two end zones.
Yeah, but obviously if the Rams wanted you, you should have been a good enough player to know which end zone to run to.
But when she said get it in the end zone, it momentarily stopped me.
Well, wait a minute. Season's making a point. If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing in one direction, and you get the ball, and you hear the cheerleader say, get it in the end zone. How was that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it
nag,
in the end zone.
Nag,
kick
yeah.
the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No, obviously they want them there.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging, little pigtailed, pleated skirt God? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's... Something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Are you trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol. Obviously, they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why
mother,
do you think
like
she's a sex symbol? Teenage boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick.
It's like
your daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from
her.
If you loved her, you wouldn't take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life.
The man's life,
yeah.
Having fun. If
no,
the man was
fun.
A good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. Obviously, the Rams didn't want you because you didn't know which football end
zone
to run to.
Wait a second. When my daughter was out there, it was 2 weeks ago, and we were playing Valley Christian, and she yelled, push him back, and the defense said, would you please just shut up? We know what we're doing.
Don't you understand what a cheerleader is supposed to do, sir? They're supposed to encourage the team.
It's like mother when she tells me to turn right when I'm already turning right. It's like my ex-wife saying, is it in? When I'm already having sex with her.
You let people bother you way too much. You let people bother you way too much. And you can't expect to move your teenage daughter. That's a cheerleader. Obviously, he's got something going for her because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a porch.
Now I know what
you think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
Season, you got to watch your language.
Yeah, did you hear the language on this child?
Just hold on.
Right. First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, The hoop is hot. Make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot. Make that shot. Put
right.
the basket in the goal. She's not meaning take me out after the show, you know? Come on.
She's trying to cheer for her team. What's this? We want it up. We want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Oh, come on. Dude. It's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well,
man.
I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
All right.
Well,
look, this is
she's
sick.
A cheerleader.
I agree with what the lady was saying. Susan, thank you very much. I think you're making
thank
some good
you,
points.
Sir.
By the way, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
20. And yeah, so you think it's fine when they say, push it, rah, rah, rah. That's okay?
Yeah, because I played sports. They're trying to cheer them on. They're not trying to arouse anybody.
Were you a cheerleader?
No, I wasn't a cheerleader. I was a sports player.
Oh, lesbian, huh?
Yeah, lesbian. And the lesbian comment you made earlier, you know, I had a girlfriend that probably looked better than any of the cheerleaders out there, so the pee pants lesbian thing is bull crap.
Wait a minute.
To everybody out there listening, that was bull crap.
What was bull crap?
Baggy clothes lesbians can't.
That's
come
right.
On.
Every lesbian that I've ever known, they always wore slacks.
Oh, come
slacks
on,
and
dude.
Floor-shine shoes and lipstick.
What about the bondage-collared porno lesbians? Do they wear slacks? Come on, dude.
Well,
they're hot lesbians.
Which series are you talking about? Is that the one with Kimberly Ames? Or the?
Okay, fine, great. Susan, thank you very much.
Come on, thanks a lot, dude. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. She's all right. That's Susan. She's a little butch gal, but she's okay. And as for Larry, this guy once again needs therapy. Yet again. Get off that porch, Larry. You'll be a lot better. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the voice of Larry Grover in that last bit was actually performed by me. And the people that called in thought Larry was a real guy. So there you go. Including you, Susan, even though we've decided that we love you and we'd like you to call us more often. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In yesterday's bit with Vernon Dozier, Vernon was on the show saying that his wife had promised she'd dye her hair blonde so that they could have normal sex again. See, Vernon, he can't get it up for a woman who is a brunette.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a comment to the Hank. I want to know, since when the heck has been marriage been based upon hair color? I mean, she's still who she is regardless
right.
of her hair color.
Yes, ma'am.
Her body
right.
parts do not change
no.
regardless of what hair color she is. And you, as a health teacher, should know that the roots come from in the inside, not out of a bottle.
Okay.
So maybe it takes more to maintain than it does for you to put some effort in it. Maybe it's your libido that's going downhill, not her look.
No, because everything about our marriage is great.
You said you had a good marriage.
We've got a wonderful marriage. I love her. She's my best friend. We enjoy the same things.
How can you say that she's your best friend when you're telling this lady she needs to change her hair color?
No.
Don't
in
you
order for us to
if
have
you're
sex,
truly,
in
I'm
order
sorry,
for us,
if you are truly in love with this person, as you say you do, then you should not expect her to do things she doesn't want to.
Could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Are you blonde?
Yes, I am.
See, I can tell because you're exciting to listen to. You have fire. You have
opinion. I think
you
you're
have
full
passion. Oh, excuse me.
Sherry, could you watch your language, please? Sherry?
Yes.
Could you watch your language, please?
Yes.
Why do you think
I
I'm
apologize.
Full of, why do you think I'm full of it? I said you sound exciting.
I think that you're a whack job. I think that you've colored your hair too much for you to think something like this.
You're
and
a blonde.
And as a health teacher,
you're a blonde.
Great.
How did I know you were a blonde?
Because...
Because
you just
got
assume.
Fire, because
assume.
You've got fire.
You know what they say about
no.
people who assume?
No. Wait
well,
a second.
Think about
the
it.
Assumption is the mother of all screw-ups, is what I've heard, Sherry.
Well, hold on for a minute. Sherry, as soon as you started talking, I could tell you had that kind of little girl voice.
and it was exciting to talk to you.
That's not because my hair is blonde. That's because God gave me vocal cords.
No, but you've got opinion, and you sound almost youthful, and you...
That comes from within, and if you didn't beat your wife down all the time about her hair color, maybe she would tell you like it is, too.
I just want to ask
you
a question.
Yeah, you need to grow up, buddy. If you want, if you, you know, tit for tat, if you want her hair blonde, you should dye yours blonde. And you sound like you're bald. Are you bald?
I have a receding hairline, yeah.
Well, see, how did I figure that?
All right, well,
I hope
look,
your age isn't the size of your IQ, because I think you're a very materialistic person to base your marriage upon.
I think you sound very
interesting. You're not so smart yourself.
Oh, you sound interesting. Has anyone grabbed your hair from behind?
What are you talking about?
She has a very sexual...
What do you mean, has anybody grabbed her hair from behind?
This is the type of man we're dealing with. He has no intelligence other than below the belt.
God, you sound cute.
All right, look at...
And you're disgusting.
Are you trying to say that all you want is a bimbo? Is that what you're saying?
Every man wants a woman who just won't be a brain surgeon. You want a woman who will just...
So you're saying Sherry's not a brain surgeon. Is that it? You're saying Sherry's stupid?
No. No, I'm not.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying she sounds like a blonde.
No, she's... She just isn't somebody who's going to win.
Get on a respirator. You sound like you're losing it there.
She's not the kind of woman that's going to win a lot of arguments from me. Let me put it that way.
What does that mean?
I'm smarter than her. I think, Sherry, wouldn't you agree that I'm smarter than you?
I think, buddy, you have a better chance with a toilet bowl.
With a toilet ball?
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay. Well, I can see why Vernon was interested in her. She was cute. She had some spunk. She was blonde. She's a little dumb. No, she wasn't dumb. She was blonde. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Maxim has the top 100 sexiest girls on television this month. And I want to just alert you to something, because I had the great pleasure this last summer of doing a TV pilot called, should I say? I'm going to give it away now. No, I won't tell you the name of it. But I worked with an actress, and her name was Amanda Detmer. You guys have got to check her out in the next issue of Maxim, ma'am. She should be there. She should be on this list, baby. Serious. And I'm sure she will be, because the show's going to be a serious smash, and maybe they'll have me back to do my little part as a judge. But that's what I did last summer. See, I did that show, and then I went to Hawaii, and that was it. The rest of the summer I spent just working along. People say, what did you do last summer? Well, I took 1 week of vacation, and I did this TV show, and doing these television shows, it's kind of different. I don't know whether or not it's anything that I'm gonna enjoy over the long haul. I think that maybe if the sun shines on me and God blesses me and the river don't rise and we actually are able to get a TV show on the air on NBC, I think that I'm going to have to live closer to work or something, because there's no way I can do this radio gig and do that at the same time without serious adjustment of hours, you know? When you do those shows, you know what you do? You got to go in there, and you got to rehearse, and you do that maybe 2-3 days. Then they got to get all the camera crap set up. Then you rehearse with the camera stuff. Then you got all these people coming and telling you what to say and what not to say, and that sucked, and this is okay, and they make you rewrite the script. Till finally you do it in front of the studio audience, and then you're nervous because you're afraid you're going to blow your lines, or they're going to have to reshoot something, and the people, are they going to laugh or not? Found out, though, that the studio audiences that are on those TV shows, they go from show to show to show. So they laugh at everything. They laugh when they're supposed to laugh. I don't know whether they pay them or not, but do they pay them to laugh? Some of them, they pay to laugh. They give them like $10, go ahead, laugh. Well, when do I? Just laugh anytime. I don't care. It can be like when somebody gets shot, laugh. Just laugh. So that's interesting. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, and then it's just the longest bloody day, because you're waiting around for them to call you, and then you say two lines, you go back to where your hole is, and you sit there and you eat some bananas or something. It's really great. It's very glamorous. Can't wait to do it. Don't forget as well, the Phil Hendry Show website is available for subscription. All of our audio, $6.95 a month. That means you get all of these great shows, all of these great hours of classic comedy that we do. This last hour was a beautiful thing. If for no other reason than listening to Season sitting there puffing on her Pall Mall straights, talking about how she's a lesbian and she ain't going to take no crap from nobody. Season, you're all right with us. So check it all out on our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Don't.